So there's been a lot of talk around Derek Jeter skipping the Old Timers Day on August 9th, honoring the 2000 World Series team, which, of course, he was a part of. He was the Yankee captain. He was a World Series MVP of that year. And then some headlines generated when you said it felt elitist that he was skipping this, and a lot of his other teammates were there. But you did preface that by saying that if he's got some sort of family issue we don't know about, is not out there, then I totally understand that. So then Susan Waldman, who does a weekly spot with the Midday Show, popped on with BT yesterday, and she said that the reason why Derek Jeter was skipping Old Timers Day is that they were having a big party for one of his daughters, whose birthday is August 17th.
Not August 9th,
which is a Saturday.
That's interesting.
So August 9th is a Saturday. August 18th, I guess, is a, or 17th is a Sunday. Because what is it? Or I don't even know. But, I mean, you would think it would be the weekend before, right?
Yeah. And people, you know, got to remember, I was responding to you talking about him saying that he didn't want Yankee fans seeing him in a Yankee uniform.
He didn't
want
to get hurt.
And get hurt and not look like the player that they remembered, the last player to hit the home run there.
Yeah.
Been very kind and very respectful to Derek Jeter all these years. I just felt like, you know, if there wasn't something going on and that was the reason why he was not there, that's elitist to me.
Yes.
Like, you should be with your teammates. You should be there celebrating, especially if you are the MVP, and never take any of those great things for granted, especially when you win. I mean, that's the amazing thing. And then, of course, you know, along comes Susan with the story about this, the birthday party. I don't think it's a birthday party.
You don't think it's a birthday party?
I don't. I think it's something family related, and I don't want to get into it, but I don't think it's a birthday party. I think it's another private celebration of family.
Okay.
That I believe.
So it's not a bad thing. It's not like
No. It's not a bad thing. But, and I've been contacted letting me know exactly what's going on, and I understand completely, assuming, you know, I'm being told the truth, and I do believe I am.
Okay. So, I mean, and BT had pushed back with Susan, said, why couldn't they choose another day? I mean, this is
if it actually isn't her birthday.
Right, exactly. And then you're saying, well, you know, that this Old Timers Day was picked out in the off season to let fans know so they could buy tickets and all that stuff. So there's many months to plan ahead for this. But there's other things that are planned even further back than birthday parties and Old Timers Days.
Exactly.
This may be one of those things.
And like I said, I prefaced my comments by saying that. And it's the birthday party thing is, I don't believe is real. I think it's I've been told something else.
So. Okay. But I mean, why would they be keeping this other celebration private, I guess, would be a question that I have.
I don't know. It's just whatever.
It's just whatever.
It is what it is, yes.
I mean, Derek Jeter could have ended all of this by just coming out and saying one thing. This is what happens when speculation becomes the big deal, is it just goes on and on and on. And this will be another issue and story, and he's lying about the birthday party, and this is be a, you know, just keeps going.
Well, it put BT in a bad spot because BT, I don't know if he knew that the daughter's birthday was not that day.
Yeah.
That it was the 17th.
Right.
It's not hard to find the birthdays. It's pretty easy.
Right. Exactly. But I mean, you know, his point of you couldn't have it another day.
Right. But again, like.
But it's not that. You're saying it's not that.
It's not that. But again, you know, I don't know how many times you have to say it. Yes, of course you respect Derek Jeter. Yes, of course you respect his captaincy and Captain Clutch and everything else and the way he carried himself. I don't know how many, like, nobody ever called me to say thank you when I say those things. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you say the nice things about somebody, nobody ever calls and says thank you. They only call if you misinterpret what is being said. But then again, nothing was said other than the fact that I don't want to be in a baseball uniform in front of my baseball in front of the Yankee fans.
Yeah, right. So, I mean,
and I don't want to get hurt.
Right. I don't want to get hurt.
And therefore, I'm not showing up.
Yes.
And it's a big day to show up.
Right.
So that leads us to a whole nother part of the conversation.
Yes, and then also answers a question why he, if he didn't want to put the uniform on, didn't want to risk getting hurt, all the things that we talked about, why not just show up and be honored and say, hey, I'm not going to play, but I got to be here and hang out with my guys. Well, this would answer that question, too. But you know, if Derek just came out in any sort of way on X or Instagram or whatever, goes on Fox and just says, we have a family commitment that was booked.
A family conflict.
Family conflict that was booked before this Old Timers Day that I cannot miss and I need to be at. Boom. Done. But that's not what's happening. He doesn't even need to say the specifics of what this family thing was.
Right.
Just say it. And everybody would understand. We wouldn't be talking about it. Okay.
Yeah, but Susan coming on saying it's his daughter's birthday party or something?
Yeah, running interference there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's accurate. So I don't believe it's accurate, but
it doesn't mean that she's lying about it. It's just she was told that and then communicating that, yes. and whatever. But man, what a big deal over something that shouldn't have been a big deal. Come on, Derek, just put it out there.
When I say he's elitist and it goes viral, that's what's going to happen. But you know, people don't understand the entire context of the conversation.
Yeah. Izzo was all fired up about that video. Oh my God, he's had his. He doesn't have any hair, but it was standing up on his head.
He had goosebumps down his arms, the whole thing.
Take a look at this. Is this okay? And I'm like, it's fine with me, man. I mean,
we said it
on the air.
Like, we're on the air. You can throw it out there.
Yeah,
I don't care.
I mean, I have never, like, he's asked me, like, oh, is this okay to put out? Like, I would put it on. I mean, someone has it. It's out there already. I already did it.
Yes.
You know, I've heard people ask and request videos be pulled. That has happened.
Oh, that has definitely happened.
You know, that the fan account will post something and the host will be like, I don't want that out there any more than it is. Can you pull it? That's a thing.
Then why say it?
You got to ask those people. I don't know.
That's my point. If you're going to say it, I mean, if it's inaccurate, sure.
Well,
but if it's not...
I guess it's
your opinion about something.
Yeah, let it go.
It's your opinion. That's why you're here.
Yeah, of course. I don't understand that.
Can you give me an example?
Fuck you. No, I can't give you an example.
Okay.
I'm not going to give you an example.
All right.
But...
Clown show.
No. Eddie, you're answering the question. I'm not saying it's that. There's multiple instances of it.
Yeah, I give me another instance.
Figure it out. All right, I'll give you one. But he decided to change his mind on it and stayed out there. There was one of the, when Sal was doing the overnight, there was one time he screamed at a caller. And
okay.
It was hilarious and it was great and everybody loved it, but he didn't like the way he came across in it and went and said, I don't want that up there. And then he was convinced you got to leave it up there because everybody loves it.
That's the best of Sal.
Right.
Leave it up there, man.
That's one example.
Who you are, brother.
And I don't think he'll be upset that I said anything about that.
But we didn't take it down, did we?
No. Oh, he was convinced that, hey, leave it up. And he was like, okay, that's who you are, man.
Come on.
Yeah, I see it. I understand. So that's one.
All right.
But, you know, there's others.
Okay.
So, but
we don't suck.
Eddie, you are impossible.
Yeah, we don't. But yeah, I mean, you say something on the air, you gotta deal with it. You gotta live with it, whatever it may be. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know.
It was funny. Like when Izzo came up to that whole Karl Anthony Towns loser conversation.
Yes.
He was like, "You okay with me putting this out?" I'm like, "Yeah." Of course.
Yeah.
I do a show.
Yes.
I said it on the show.
And by the way, I mean, that was a hot take, but it was a real take. It wasn't like a fake hot take.
No.
Like, nobody comes in here and says, you do this and you do that like they do at some other places.
No.
Like, I'm going to say this, so therefore I'm going to say that.
Never had that conversation.
Not once.
Not one time in 7.5 years of that conversation.
I haven't had that conversation in 18 years.
Yeah, I mean, very rarely do we even talk about the show before the show. Talk about, like, flop shots and Instagram reels.
You know, one of the guys I interviewed yesterday was Patrick McEnroe, who was also in the running for taking over for Imus back in 2007. When I saw him, I said, I don't know whether to hug you or strangle you.
Yeah, I remember that because he was a frequent guest on with Imus.
He did sports updates.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
I remember he and John came in to do it, and he was telling me the story that John had said, you know, how many days a week is this and how many hours?
Mm. Yeah. Not everybody wants to tackle that.
And Steve Summers famously thought that Patrick McEnroe was an intern.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, he kind of looks like an intern.
That's pretty funny. That's not as funny as one of the interns thinking Steve Summers was Al Sharpton. That was one of the funniest things that ever happened in the building.
That tops.
Yeah. Fine. One of the interns thought that Steve Summers was Al Sharpton?
Yes. And when you think about
it. Is this skinny Al Sharpton or fat Al Sharpton?
Skinny. When Al Sharpton lost all that weight and then had like the hair combed back and everything.
Yeah.
You could make that mistake.
Steve Summers is white. Al Sharpton's black.
Steve Summers has been turning gray over the last number of years.
Like there's a.
What, his skin tone?
Yes. Yeah, like a death pall.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
well, I mean, he does smoke.
I'm telling you, it's not that far out of the question. And that's what makes it so funny.
I don't see that.
Right. But here's the thing. You would never think it yourself, but then when someone says it and then you go and you look, you're like, oh my God.
I mean, if you told me Dracula, I'd say, okay, I get it.
Okay.
Okay.
Big, beautiful decks. Let's go to Tony in West Haven, Connecticut. What's going on, Tony?
Hey, Rangio.
What's up, Tony? What's happening, brother?
Listen, it just looks like Derek Jeter doesn't want to associate with this team anymore. As far as the fan aspect is concerned, this is the first time they're actually getting on the field and they're going to play like a real old-timers day game in like 6 years. And this guy doesn't want to show up.
Let me just say, Tony, from what I've been told, I'm telling you the reason he is not coming, if true, it's 100% understandable.
Okay, well, I take it back then. But still, it just seems like on the outside, looking in, he never wants to appear in any of these old-timers day games. And he wants fans to remember the way he was. Well, the whole point of old-timers day is to let the fans see you again.
Yeah, I know that the Yankee fans that are going would love to see Jeter there and just be able to give him the ovation. He would get the biggest ovation. I do know, and Tony, we talked about it yesterday, that there was issues between him and Cashman. I can't imagine that after the humongous ceremony he got in the monument and the way that they treated him that day, that he's still holding any grudges.
I mean, Derek Jeter should be loving Brian Cashman because he took Giancarlo Stanton off his hands.
That is true. That did happen. And, of course, he couldn't associate with the Yankees during those years that he was...
With the Marlins,
but now that's over, and he was to Fox, and he's been back at the stadium.
To give you, like, an understanding of why Derek Jeter, if he was with the Marlins, was not going to be coming back to the stadium, there's a reason that happened in the NFL. And this is when Mike Vrabel, as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans, goes into the Patriots' Ring of Honor. And he's sitting there with the owner of the Patriots while being the head coach of the Titans in the middle of the season on the Titans bye week.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Same conference, everything. It's really
not that I don't believe he belongs in there. I do. But you would think that given the circumstances.
Little video message would have done well enough.
Exactly.
Wearing his Titans gear.
Yeah, and you never know what Bob Kraft was thinking about. Was he sending a message to Bill Belichick? Was he sending a message to Gerard Mayo? Was he sending a message to the fan? Who knows? So cockamamie the whole thing.
Well, if he was doing that, it worked because now he's the head coach of the New England Patriots. If that's what he was trying to do.
But would that annoy the ownership of the Titans?
Sure. Would annoy me.
You'd think it would?
Yeah. If I were the owner, I'd be annoyed.
Right. So I'm trying to think.
Season's not going well. You're telling me you got to go up there and put on that logo and do the whole thing?
Like, say, if the Detroit Lions wanted to put Aaron Glenn into their Coaches Hall of Fame or something. While he's coaching the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, don't show up and put on that Lions shirt and hat again. No way.
Right.
Now, I mean, that's a different conference. It's not as, you know, when you AFC or AFC-NFC, it does change it a little bit. But I don't want to see my coach putting anything else on.
Well, you're sitting there and you're chumming it up with, the owner of the Patriots in your red jacket.
Yeah. Not a good look. I'd be mad.
That would be tough for me. Yeah,
we're paying you millions. The team stinks right now. I mean, it's the bye week. You're up there. You know?
And if you're running the Yankees, I mean, if you're running the Marlins, you got to be all in on for the Marlins at that moment.
And he was.
Yeah.
He was. And then when he wasn't with them any longer, you saw him more.
Right.
But you believe it's not the daughter's birthday, as Susan said, but it is something else that is a celebration that you could understand why he wouldn't be there. It just would be nice if Derek would come out and say that to end the speculation, because the fan base is pissed he's not going to be there because it feels like he's just missing it.
The fan base, I'm just telling the fan base, the criteria that I was looking for.
Criterion?
Has been met.
Okay, there you go.
In my eyes, assuming that what I have been told is the truth, and I do believe that it is.
Talked a little bit about the Giants before, about obviously Russell Wilson being named the starter. That's no surprise at all. Not stunned that Dable also said the second spot is up for battle. The number two quarterback, up for grabs, number two quarterback, a little competition there, which I like. I think it's healthy. I'm curious to see how it goes, but I did touch on that. But the other thing I didn't touch on from Giants' perspective very quickly, you know, I think it depends how you process, you know, like how you heard it. When Bogus just said in the update, you know, the Giants expect Andrew Thomas to be ready for week one. I sure as hell hope so. I mean, come on. How long was he out? How long ago did he have the surgery or the situation with his foot, right? So that's an odd one to me. The Giants expect him to be ready for week one. I don't get overly alarmed on, you know, players on the pup. You don't need to go hard the first, not that they go really hard anymore, but like the first day, you don't need to do that. But so it's more of a clerical thing, more of a whatever. So I'm not overreacting too much to that, but I don't know. You know, far be it for me to just assume that the starting left tackle, who's one of the best in football, after 5 or 6 months of recovery, I think that I would want a little bit more of an optimistic scout report than here on July 23rd that Andrew Thomas should be ready for week one. I'm not trying to make too much out of it, but that caught my ear. All right, BT and Sal here on The Fan, brought to you by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. We've obviously talked about the Mets. Right now, we get back to the Yankees with one of the great voices of the Yankees. I texted her a couple of weeks ago. I heard a pregame interview, and I love this geeky stuff. It's right up my alley. The scout who found Schlittler and the scout who found Ben Rice, and she got right back to me. She's awesome. Susan Walden, what's happening, kiddo? How you doing?
I'm great. I turn on and I'm listening and you're talking football. I thought you'd still be screaming from last week about the Yankees and how they've been playing. I'm really glad to know you're talking about something else this morning.
And listen, I'll tell you something. I've been positive about the Yankees today. Let me ask you a question. Now, and I know, I should say, I think that you listen to Sal and I on occasion. You put the station on once in a while, right? No. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. No.
Right.
Well, yeah. I do. Okay. I'm just kidding.
Oh, I got you. I ask you that just to get to this next question, which is really the question. Do you think I'm unfair to the Yankees? Like, because I know that there's so many different ways to interpret where they are and what they need to do and how they played. I think I'm fairly balanced, but I don't know. Maybe in the eyes of some, I'm not. You think I've been a little bit too nuts about this?
Well, no. I think you're perfect for what you're doing for a living.
You know,
you're not the manager of the Yankees. You're doing a talk show.
That's right.
And you're talking to people who live and die with this. I have something for you, though,
mm-hmm.
because and if you know this quote, you can't. I want to read you something, and I want to tell you. I want you to tell me which manager said this.
Oh, okay. I love it. Go ahead.
All right.
Yeah.
This is a quote.
Yeah.
This better be rock bottom as far as how we've been pitching, how we've been playing defense. I think the offense is starting to kind of tick up, which is good. But yeah, I think as far as the quality of the baseball, it's been a tough watch. What manager just said that?
Okay. Oh just said it. I was going to say Joe Torre in 2000 when they were playing terribly down the show. Okay.
Yesterday.
Just said it. I don't know. Who was it?
Dave Roberts.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Well, he's right.
So anytime you think that the Yankees are alone in this, that's the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yep. Point taken. I understand what you're saying. And one thing that I've said, Susan, a lot, right? When and there's obviously varying degrees of urgencies and nuttiness from the fans. I get it. It's all over the full spectrum. It is what it is.
Yeah.
But one thing that I always say is, hey, you know, if you're telling me that, you know, you feel confident that the Yankees are going to win or they had this, I'm not saying that you're totally wrong, but I am more of a believer in tell me what my team, same with the Mets, tell me what the team has rather than
don't. Right. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm fully confident that they're going to start playing great baseball. Of course, I mean, you have to be an idiot. I'm watching. I do these games. I've seen every pitch of every game.
Yep.
But I do think that, you know, and this is what fandom is. And I think everybody's got to understand this. I think things can be handled a little differently. You know, I don't, you know, it's I don't like this, boy, we lost 10 to nothing, but isn't it a beautiful day kind of attitude. I don't like that. I mean, there are things wrong, and I know the Yankees think of them. I'll tell you right now, a lot of these rumors that you're hearing on and seeing on the internet are pure garbage. I mean, pure garbage. They'll end up with a third baseman, but I think they're after bigger things. I think they're after, they need pitching. And I think that the staff here knows that, they need a third baseman. They need pitching desperately. That bullpen is on fumes.
Yes, it's rough.
Every single day. And I keep looking to see if Tim Hill's left arm is going to be longer than his right arm, because he's up every single day. I mean, they need people. But, and they've had scouts in Minnesota. They haven't decided whether they're going to sell yet or not. They've had scouts in Pittsburgh. The Minnesota one intrigues me because they've got great pitching. If they're going to give up on that closer, and then maybe one of the starters, that's maybe you go there. But there's nothing out there. They haven't made offers to anybody. And when things happen, and you know Brian Cashman, he's going to do it at the last minute. Well, I'll be sitting here at 6:02 on, if that's the time, on trade deadline, and that's when it happens.
Listen, he's very good at that. I've always said that. Yep. You know, whether it's Grisham, I mean, he's made some money moves. Jazz Chisholm, money moves over the years. He's proved himself there. That's one of his greatest strengths to me, putting together a bullpen, making a move when they need to. I think he's great at that. So I know that they're going to pounce. But here's the thing. We all know that they need multiple quality arms in the bullpen. He's going to do that. There is, in my opinion, there is no way they can enter October with that left side of the infield. There's no chance. They have to get a third baseman.
I don't think. Although they'll get a third baseman.
Okay.
But if you're going to get a third baseman, you better get one that defensively is better than what's already there.
I know. And Suarez stinks. I agree. I like McMahon. I think McMahon from the Rockies could be a decent fit.
Well, I don't know. He hits 203, and he's hitting in Colorado. I don't know. I mean, there are other people that if you get like a frontline starter from a team, do you put in Ahmad Rosario over there, a Willie Castro, if you can get a big starter and a big bullpen arm? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what they got to think of. But by the way, don't forget, teams aren't sitting around saying, this is what we've got for sale. My guess is Suarez is going anyway. Because I think that this is it for him in Arizona, so he's going somewhere. The last rumor was he was going back to Seattle, but who knows? I don't think anybody knows yet what they're doing. And the GMs of all these other teams, I know that Yankees have scouts in Pittsburgh. They got them in Minnesota. They've been in Minnesota and Pittsburgh a couple of times. Arizona. Brian Cashman leaves no stone unturned. And just because we're talking about four different people doesn't mean he's not talking about 10.
And five that we're not even thinking about.
And because a lot of these teams haven't decided yet whether they're in or they're out. There's another, 10 days?
I think it's another week.
So mm-hmm. another week.
Yeah.
What if somebody goes on a winning streak and wins 6 in a row?
I hear you.
And all of a sudden they're the last wild card.
Yep.
And wild card, even if it's the first round, that's money.
I know. Understood. It's changed this time of the year. There's no doubt. Susan Wallman, of course, great voice of the Yanks forever. She's with us here. BT and Sal. All right, so I want to jump around to a couple of things here, and you don't have to delve too deeply into these because I want to give you a couple names. Is Lombard untouchable, do you think?
Yes.
Is Jones untouchable?
I think Lombard is the only one that's really untouchable.
But
you don't know. Would you give Spencer Jones for Joe Ryan? In 5 minutes, you would do that.
Yeah. I mean, I want to go through these names, but it's hard not to because there's so much meat on the bone. The only thing that worries me about, Jones looks great at AAA. That's obvious. But, they're not going to resign Goldschmidt next year. Grisham could leave. Bellinger could leave. Like,
But I think you're going too far away. I mean, we're still in July of this year.
No,
you gotta
I know.
Get through this
I
year.
Understand.
Here's the thing about Spencer Jones, and I understand that everybody is talking about the strikeouts and everything. Well, he's not striking out now.
Nope.
And someone else came up here and struck out 30% of the time, and his name is Aaron Judge. And now they say he's the best hitter in baseball. And I think the mistake is when we think that what we see at AA or AAA is what you're going to see after a couple of years in the big leagues. Nobody made more errors at shortstop in the minor leagues than Derek Jeter.
56.
And he came up here and that didn't happen.
Yep.
But you do get to grow up in this world. George Lombard is 19 years old. I mean, give them a minute.
I'm still waiting to grow
but
up,
then
though.
But when they get here, you don't expect – I think everybody expects you to be a finished product. Nobody is a finished product. Perfect example. Cam Schlittler is not a finished product. Do you see the talent there?
I like him.
Do you
him.
See what you saw last night?
Yeah.
He's a tough kid. He hadn't pitched in 10 days. No wonder people are saying, oh, he walks people. He walks people. He hadn't pitched in 10 days. He walked people, too.
Uh-huh. Obviously, if we don't think, and I tend to agree, I don't think Jones is untouchable, but I'd like to keep him. They have to really like Ben Rice. I mean, I don't know how much you dive into the deeper analytical stuff. I do, and I don't want to really talk. It's kind of nerdy on the air. It's hard to do. Everything's amazing from a hitting perspective. This kid's got to play every day.
Well, he's not going to play every day.
I don't like that,
Susan. You know, here's the thing. Here's the whole thing. You've got too many people that need to play every day. In a perfect world, you would find out about Jason Dominguez by putting him out there every single day. You can't because there's a guy named Bellinger who's out there who can play anywhere, and he should play every day as far as I'm concerned because he's amazing. But look at it. Look at the team. What team do you know has three catchers on the roster, all of them left-handed?
I don't know.
And the roster needs to be fixed a little bit. And I think they know that. And, you know, you've got the left-handed first baseman. Ben Rice is okay at first base. He's not Goldschmidt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that do you worry about, you know, do we get through this year first with an eye on next year? Or do we think about who's leaving next year?
That's a tough balance to strike. What do you think they're thinking? I know what I'm thinking. What do you think they're thinking?
I think they're thinking both of it.
That's a tough thing to straddle. Yeah, I'm not saying you can't straddle it.
Well, but you can for now. Right now, this roster, you know, it doesn't have a really good left side of the infield. You have to fix that. I'm sorry. You can't. You know, you've got three people. You paid $1 billion for Max Fried. You've got Stroman, who's a ground ball pitcher. Will Warren hits mostly to contact. And you've got a left side of the infield that can't make plays. That doesn't make sense to me. Even in a money point of view, you've got to have a third baseman. You've got to have a left side of the infield. When you've got left-handed guys who throw ground balls to the left side, you've got to have people that can then pick it there. That's the whole thing, because it doesn't work. It's not that they make errors. It's that they're not built for what I think is on this staff. Mark Leiter's another example.
Mm-hmm.
He's a ground ball pitcher. When fork he gives ball. Up hits, they go through the left side.
Yep, fork ball. You're nailing it.
But it's those kinds of things that you have to fix. You know, and I know the results. I know that people are on Mark Leiter. A lot of it is not him. If there's people that can play the defense, that someone like that, that's who he is.
Well,
he doesn't strike people out or give up fly balls.
He doesn't.
He hits them to the right, to the left side of the infield.
You're right.
But that's just an example.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Max Fried is the most glaring. That's what he does. He's a contact hitter. He has, that's why, you know, you see him striking out a lot now, mm-hmm. people. But he hits, when they hit his pitches, they go to the left side.
No doubt. And I remember saying that over the winter. Like, just look at his profile. He's going to throw the ball in at the ankles. He's going to cut into a righty, and he's going to bang that ball into third. That's why I was kind of intrigued with Arenado. I know he doesn't hit the way he used to. I know the contract.
I know all that.
But he can pick it.
I think that they, and don't think that they've just decided in the last two months that they need a left field, a third baseman. They've been trying. I think the Yankees thought they could get by with this group, but it was supposed to be Cabrera.
Right? Yeah.
Don't forget, he's not here.
I know.
And then they had hoped, there was a lot of hoping going on, I think. And I don't think that anybody thought, when I first saw Oswald Peraza, I thought he was going to be really, really good.
Me too.
And he has regressed for a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons that go behind that. But that being said, they're not just starting to look for a third baseman yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on, but everybody knows.
For 15 years, it feels like. 15 years since A-Rod, basically.
Well, it's hard to match that one. You know, if you look around, and I keep seeing pictures of the, you know, that infield, A-Rod and Jeter and Cano.
I mean,
my goodness, doesn't get any better than that.
No.
But, you know, there's got to be a happy medium in between Alex Rodriguez and Scott Brosius and what's going on
and
out
Vivas.
There now.
I got you.
Yeah, somebody's got to be in the middle of that. And, you know, there's got to be somebody that's in there somewhere.
I got a name for you that probably you're one of the only people that will remember. It can't be Len Cicada, though. Does that ring a bell?
No, it can't. Yes, of course. Remember, it mostly was Baltimore, though.
Yes, 100%. No doubt.
Yep.
All right, so
someone will be here. I will make a Brian Cashman is really good at what he does. Someone will be there at third base that is different than what's there now.
They better be. I believe it. I agree with you. I know he's going to get somebody. He has to.
All right, now you've got guys, you know, you've got something to talk about every single day. Right?
I love it. I mean, eventually I'd like to get on the air one day and say, hey, the Yankees just got an awesome third baseman. And I think that we'll be able to do that. But I want to ask you about Volpe. It's not the same because the Mets did this with Alvarez for a catcher. It's much more urgent. I think that his defensive mechanics were just broken. I think that Volpe's more in his head, although now his mechanics are breaking as well. Would they ever send him down? I mean, what's the next step?
Okay, here's my question for you. Before I answer that, who would play there?
I hear you. I know. That's what I say. I would not send him down, but a lot of people say they should.
Well, but I think people think that going down is a magic bullet to get your head straight. You gotta think of who the person is too. He's been here 3 years. He's not a rookie.
Yeah.
And I think but I think more importantly is who are you going to put there?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't.
That's what
I know.
You know, this is tough to watch for everybody, and I'm sure it's worse for Anthony Volpe. But this is tough to watch, and you wonder if, and they'll deny it, of course. You wonder if the offense. A lot of people can't stop taking their offense into the field. Gary Sanchez couldn't do it.
Nope.
He couldn't separate offense and defense. When he went badly defensively, that's when he started striking out. Or the other way around. I don't know whether it's the chicken or the egg. And I don't know, you know, I haven't delved that much into Anthony Volpe's psyche to see if that's it. There's got to be something in there because not everybody can separate. Not everybody. You know who did it perfectly? Jorge Posada did it perfectly. Because all the years that we heard about, you know, his, you know, wasn't a great catcher. He wasn't yada, yada, yada. They sure liked it when he hit a 3-run homer in the bottom of the seventh.
Hit a lot of them, too. Yeah.
But he could separate. Judge separates. I think really good players do. And I think that's something. I'm not saying that's Volpe. I'm just kind of wondering.
Yeah.
And if that's true, it doesn't make any difference whether he's here or in Scranton.
Well,
I don't think they would do that because there's nobody there.
Yeah, they're not going to set him down. Yeah, they're about at a ninth, so there's not literally, there's no 10th or 11th slot, so he's about as low as you can get now. But I agree, they're not going to send them down. But here's the thing with Volpe, specific to him. You know, and others have gone, whether it's Salim Bazili with the Mets back in the day or some others that stayed locally. Like, there's just a different magnet on you. And like when I was in the stadium when Volpe hit the Grand Slam in the World Series, the cheer was for the Yankees, but the depth of the cheer was also, hey, he's one of us. So when it's good, it's better. Yep. When it's bad, it's worse.
It's exactly right. You're exactly right. And a couple of home runs the other day, maybe that stopped it a little bit. But to me, and, you know, he is going to hit you 20 home runs, but is he that kind of hitter?
No, shouldn't be.
You know, is it? You know, if you're down in ninth, it's nice if he runs into one, but that shouldn't be the crux of what he does. But, you know, but maybe they think differently, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the main thing about, I don't think it does any good to send him down at this point. And my question is who plays shortstop?
I don't disagree with really either one of those. All right. So are they worried? How worried? How much are they holding the breath? Max Fried and the blister tonight.
Well, Max Fried's not holding his breath, so if they are, I don't know. I mean, Max Fried says he's fine, and I expect he knows that he's had it 4 times in his career, so he knows himself better than anybody, and it's been a couple of weeks, right? He hasn't pitched since Saturday, before the All-Star game?
Correct. It's been since then. Yep,
right.
He's good. Yep.
No,
yep.
He says he's fine. This should be an interesting Bassett and Fried. Between them, they've got 30 different pitches. It's going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
He should be fine. If he looks at his hand, then we'll know that we're wrong. But it seems to be fine. You know, he says it's all healed.
What about Luis Hill?
They really need him.
They need him, and they need Luis Hill. When is Luis Hill coming back?
Oh, he's got one. What's today? Is today Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay, he's pitching today and tonight and, I know, Scranton or Somerset, whichever one. And then they're going to decide whether he can come back or he needs one more.
Mm-hmm.
Usually he threw 57 pitches last time. I hear he was really good. And, you know, don't look at results there. You look at speed and where he's hitting.
Yep, I agree.
And if he's,
I agree.
Because there's no adrenaline when you're pitching at Somerset. You know, they try, but you can't.
Yeah.
And so he'll either be back next time around or he'll have one more. Okay. They, you know, because if he gets to 75, do you bring him back then, which they do a lot, or do you give him one more just to make sure?
Yeah, and Boone was talking about that like 2 weeks ago. He's like, listen, our decision's going to be, do we stretch him out up here or do we just stretch him out there for one more? So that's basically what you just said, and that'll be good news here. I was thinking about this. Can't prove it. I'll throw it by you. You've seen them all. Obviously, put Jeter aside, just to, although I do want to get back to Jeter with old-timers in a second, but I watch Bellinger play, and I go back and forth between like a more athletic Paul O'Neill, however you want to frame it. He's awesome. There's nothing that he doesn't do well. And I am of the opinion, you know, all right, Alex, but, you know, that was a little tainted, whatever. Like, Bellinger, maybe in the last 25, I don't know anybody that's done everything well like he does on a baseball field in a long time for the Yankees.
I think you're right. It's been, and because of he doesn't do anything, he has no fear. You want to put me in left field? Okay. I'll go there. Doesn't matter. Want to put me at first base? And but he's good everywhere. He's just got this. There's something about him. There's no fear, and there's nothing he thinks he can't do. You know, it's not an arrogant thing. He's delightful. I mean, he's okay. I'll do this. It'll be great.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's played. He hasn't played a lot of left field. He's, I mean, you know, he's been center, and right, and first base with the Dodgers. He's really good. But he's one of those athletes. He's a better. Now, I don't know if you remember his dad. Clay played everywhere.
No, I remember. Of course, absolutely.
He didn't hit like that. No. He didn't hit like that. Yeah. But he could play anywhere. Uh-huh. You weren't embarrassed to put him any place. So there's that kind of athlete, but he is, you know, a line drive hitter that hits home runs, like O'Neill. That's the O'Neill comparison. Also, he's tall and lanky like O'Neill.
He is. There's no way they – now, listen, Boris and contracts and opt-outs, like, he just looks like he's got to be a Yankee for the next 5 years, Susan. He has to
be. Well, I would – but by the way, I must tell you, and I don't know if somebody's agent would get mad, I've never seen anybody so happy to be a Yankee in my life as Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
He's just – from his father, the whole thing, and when he walked in, I belong here. Yeah, it's – yeah, and he has proven, except for when he had the back problem and then the food poisoning and tried to play through it all, he's been terrific. Everything about him.
Yeah, and the other night when Boone decided to sit him, which I thought was ridiculous, maybe what do you sit him for the first game?
Well, here's the thing, and this is what you know, Aaron has a problem. You've got four outfielders for three spots, and then if you put him at first base, you don't get to play Goldschmidt.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody sits. Also, that was, I think, that he was, who was the pitcher?
Gausman. Bad numbers against Gausman.
He was 2-for-18.
I know.
Gausman.
So what?
But that was, but that's, you know, that's what happens when you've got, you know, people that you want to play every day. You know, people say, do you know, Jason Dominguez, to me, is incomplete because he doesn't play all the time. So I don't know if we know if he's really going to be good or not.
I agree.
But somebody's got to sit all the time. And he got to play a lot because when Grisham got hurt with the groin and didn't play for a while, then you had him out there. But he's got to play. But some, you know, they do need a day. The other thing is that Anthony Volpe plays every single day.
Sit him. I've said that too. Give him a rest. Don't forget about the minors. Give him a night off.
Who's gonna play there?
It doesn't matter. He's gonna be better than Volpe is right now. Right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, and I love the kid. I defend him. Sam.
Yeah, well, we all love the kid. It's got to be awful for him to go through. Yeah, this is, you know, when, and you're right about it because he's from here, so it's worse. But he's trying to learn. I'll tell you, we were talking about people who could play through noise. No one has done this more in this town than Giancarlo Stanton. And he is the one to watch with this because now he's turned it around and you can see how, you know, 5 years of this he took.
I know.
With him when he struck out and stuff. But you have to play through it. No, and you have to play through it, and you have to be – not everyone can do it immediately.
So we're talking to Susan Wall. I'm going to wind it down here, but I got to finish it up with this, of course, BT and Sound on the Fan. I got the press release, read it on the air the other day, a lot of great names, and I like that. And I've told you before when we've had you on, I like when you do the Q&A. I think it's cool. I think it's unique. We want to see the players on the field.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, that's what I grew up with. That's what we grew up with. Can you now, unless there's like a confirmation, how in the world is Derek Jeter not there to celebrate the 2000 Subway Series championship? Like, I know that we react to a lot of stupid stuff in sports radio. That legitimately bothers me, and I think that should bother the fans. How is the captain not there?
Because it's his daughter's birthday, and they're having a big party for her.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, then I give him a pass. That's it.
You know, that's the other thing that people don't. I mean, I asked too when I was told about it a couple of weeks ago. I said, "Where's Derek?" And I was told, "Well, it's his daughter's birthday."
All right. I mean, you couldn't have the birth. I mean, again, you could have the birthday party on a different day.
It depends. Well, it's not her birthday. I don't know.
You know what I'm saying.
I know
it's the captain.
But I asked why he wasn't going to be there, so I must have cared. And it's just I don't have to balance that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
At this point, he's 25 years removed from it, and it's his daughter's birthday, and maybe he doesn't want to go home and have his daughter crying. I don't know. I don't think it has anything to do with that he didn't want to play a game. I don't think that at all. I just think it's when somebody said it's his daughter's birthday and he's staying with her.
Believe him. I always preface it with if he's got something going on, then and that's the first I've heard about the birthday. So I get it, but it is a little convenient. A couple of years, they're back on the field, and now Derek doesn't want to play ball. I don't know.
Do you think they moved his daughter's birthday?
Come on.
I know you're always looking for other reasons underneath. Maybe it really is that simple.
I'm going to leave that open. All right. What did I have anything else
I'm sure he's going to have a message on the board.
Of course
and
he is.
All that and stuff.
That ain't the same.
No, I'm disappointed too. I loved that year. That was one of my favorite years of all time.
Beat the Mets. How could you not?
Well, but it was started early. I remember Bobby Valentine saying to me during the Subway Series, I'll see you in October.
Wow.
And I said, you think so? You think so? And he said, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I like Bobby V, too. That was just a fun period. Now, there's no Goose. Is Goose completely out of the Yankee? Is like he forever in the Yankee dog? Goose is always talking smack. So Goose
I would think that might be finished here, yeah.
And Nettles is back.
One good thing, Nettles back.
Yes.
And I'm really glad to see that.
When was the last time Nettles was back? It's been a long time.
It's been years.
How many?
It's been years. And I don't know the reason, but maybe this is maybe now he'll get a monument in Monument Park, which he should.
I agree.
Nettles should be out there. Where's Catfish Hunter? He should be out there.
Yeah. Running out of space here.
But that's, there's never out of space. You move a wall.
Running out of numbers, I guess, is what I'm saying. Running out of numbers. All right there, Susan. Generous with your time. I appreciate it. We appreciate it. I think we basically hit everything. Volpe, Freed, Bellinger, Jeter, old-timers, Booney, everything.
Until the next controversy, which, you could start in 5 minutes if you want.
Well, I mean, if you ever feel
like... Oh, you don't have a lot of time left. You only have another half hour?
Hey, I could start controversy in 30 seconds if I wanted to. Now, by the way, you could start something. Yeah. If I know you're off the All-Star break, but, if you need a little break, I could jump back in for you, fill in. You know, if you feel tired down the stretch, of course.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I'll keep that in mind. I'll give you one of those games when we are playing in Texas and get in at 5 o'clock in the morning and play the next day, which is a Friday. So we had a lot of those.
I'll take a Somerset game at this point.
you can go. I'll make a phone call. You can go in anytime. Go sit in with Steve Cusimano.
They got their announcers. I don't want to get in their way. Thank you very much,
Susan.
His
name is Steve Cusimano. He's terrific. He gives us all kinds of things. Go sit and have fun with him.
Maybe I will. All right. Thank you, Susan.
Okay, Brandon. Bye-bye.
That was good. That was good. 26 minutes. A little state of the Yankees right there. Money. Very good. 888-808-1019. Dovey, anything to read here? Say it loud. Say it proud. Nothing. All right, good. BT and Sound on the Fan got you till 2. If you want to react to anything from Susan, the Volpe stuff, the minors, that was very, very good. And obviously some of the Alvarez stuff and Mets stuff. Mets are on their way. Mets are up 1-0. Angels threatening a little bit. The only at-bat, and I'm not saying this to tweak, the only thing that I saw, because I actually forgot that they were on for a second, was Juan Soto, a little check swing, kind of didn't really want to commit to it. Little one hopper to third, ground out. That's it. I don't even know how the Mets scored, but I'll check out on that. Dove, did you see how they scored? How'd they score?
A home run.
Home run, who went deep?
I didn't see. I turned it on late, too.
All right, maybe it was Alvarez. Nemo. All right, there you go, Hop. There you go. So 1-0 Mets, and try to hold on to that lead. Obviously, the Angels threatening. So timeout, back to the calls. Evan and Tiki coming up next at 2 on the Fan. Now, I try to be kind of measured with this stuff, with the stuff that Boone says. It's driven many of you nuts for a long time. Last night bothered me, and I had to unload. I just can't take it anymore. I don't want to hear things that no longer describe even remotely what I'm watching. And we got that last night. Didn't like it. He's got to stop doing that. But obviously, Volpe's got to start playing better. Peraza, get rid of him. He stinks. He's never going to hit. And listen, I know that the Yanks are going to make moves, but that's not what this is about. This is not about overreact. Although, I don't know if you can really overreact to a late July, you know, first game, big series against a team that just punked you four straight last month. And now, you know, you go into the series three games behind. I don't think that's like, you know, going nuts if the Mets lost to the Rockies on April 13th or the Yankees lost to the White Sox on April 27th. Like, we're allowed to get a little worked up now. And we are. I know it's going to get better from a personnel perspective. There are multiple players coming. And if they don't, then Cashman, woof. I don't really get encouraged by stuff that I'm going to read to you here. I saw Buster only had a tweet a couple hours ago. All right, so Yanks are four games beyond the Jays. We know that. Lead the wild card race by two. He tweets something worth remembering down the stretch. Per Fangraphs, they have the easiest remaining schedule of any American League team. This is how they wrap up the season starting September 15th. So from September 15th to the end of the season, they've got three at Minnesota who are going to trade players, and they're not even good now. Four at Baltimore, who stinks. Three with the White Sox, stinks. Three more with Baltimore, stinks. All right, so great. You know what that means to me today? Nothing. Because one thing that I've been saying for a while, whether it's, you know, during the Nick playoff run or anything with any of our teams, don't tell me about the weaknesses of the other teams or circumstances like schedules. Tell me what we have with Team X that should embolden me to think they can win the Super Bowl. They can win the NBA championship. They can win the World Series. And you know, and I love Buster, but like the tweet, like, all right, fantastic. Wow, awesome. Okay, great. They play terrible teams down the stretch. Yay. But it doesn't matter if like the fundamental issue with the team is not addressed. And for me, that is my issue. And right now, the fundamental issue with the Yankees, I'm not even going to say defense on the left side. That's too easy. I'm going to say a lack of accountability and acceptance of substandard play. You say, well, they, you know, they don't accept it. They push back behind closed doors. Great. Sit somebody. That tells me you're really not accepting it, you know? Let me get Sean in Norwood, BT and Sal on the Fan. Sean, what's going on?
Hey, BT. Love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it, pal. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the obvious problem. Volpe, and I've been saying this from day one, his rookie season, the kid has a noodle for an arm. He is not a major league shortstop. And on top of it, now he's got the yips. You can see it a mile away. His arm angle's dropping. He's throwing two seamers and sinkers over to first base. And it's a big problem. He's lucky he doesn't have 16, 17 errors right now. Goldschmidt has saved him on so many balls that he's dug out of the dirt.
I agree.
That is a problem. And I don't want to hear that they should move him to second base. What are you going to do? Move Jazz to another position? We got one of the best second basemen in the league. Yeah. And you're going to weaken two positions.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Yankee way, and it's Cashman. It's a big problem. From an offensive standpoint, the kid thinks he's A-Rod. He has got to level out his swing. He's swinging uphill. He gets beat on the high fastball every at-bat. And he has no approach. He's not disciplined. He swings up pitches out of the zone constantly. They set him up with the soft stuff low and outside, and then they pump the high fastball. He swings underneath it every time.
And he either misses it or he fouls it back. I've been saying this for a long time, Sean. Like, you know, I get it. Sometimes we're just going to rail on a situation, but you know, I prefer to at least try to give you a solution or at least to clearly identify what the hell's wrong. You know, and then I'll rant and rave about it if I have to. But I said for a while that Volpe's approach, I mean, just do a search on social media. I brought this up a while ago. Like his approach is backwards. And A-Rod said that the other day. And I obviously agree. I was saying the same thing a while ago, you know. And it's just, you know, when you're a 5'11"-ish, 180-ish, that's not the swing that you should have. Not when you run a 6'5", 60. And if you don't know if that's fast, trust me, that's really fast. Really fast. So there's so many things wrong with him. And what, you know, Volpe's right now, there's so many things that they need to clean up. But I do think it's got to start on the most basic level. And that's just being honest with your fan base, which having some transparency, when you're honest with us, because think about this. One of the things the managers, they going back to Billy Martin, you name Miller Huggins, I'm sure, even when there was just the print media back in the day, Casey Stengel. Like, the media has always been a way for a coach or manager to kind of further amplify their message. It's almost like their megaphone, you know? And when you crush your like Billy Martin, that might light a fire, and that's obviously what he's going for, and it worked with Reggie, you know? But so I know that that's not going to happen, and that's certainly not called for here with Volpe. It's not a lack of effort. But when you say things like he's fine, it's two or three plays, he's still elite, that is just a lie. That is not an accurate depiction of what's going on. And to me, it's a disservice to the player. BT and Sal on the Fan.
I've been listening to you guys. You know, that's probably the only two guys I listen to, and I appreciate you two guys. I know Carlton from when he first started. And Tiki, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm a big Giants fan.
Oh, I love it.
So I really appreciate what you did for the Giants. I remember when he started as a kid. You know what? You're a good. Only show I list is this one right now.
Well, that's very nice. We appreciate it, man. Thank you. What's on your mind?
Okay. I cannot understand why Derek Jeter would not go to the Old Timers Day. Let me explain this to you. Okay, I'm 73 years old. Okay, I go way back when the Yankees were when they stumped in the 70s. I followed him. Mickey Mantle went to Old Timers.
Yeah.
Joe DiMaggio went to Old Timers.
And they played. Played. I got you.
No. It's disrespectful for me as it's supposed to be a diehard Yankee fan who paid tons of money through the years. Okay? And you don't want to. Who are you? Who's Derek Jeter? Really?
I mean, he could be busy, though.
Well,
I mean, so seriously.
What I find really interesting
is.
Does he work?
On the weekends?
What does he do?
Is he not on
On Fox?
Yes.
Come on. That doesn't count as working. He talks to A-Rod and David Ortiz about what he thinks is going to happen on
maybe
a Saturday night baseball game.
Scheduling conflict. Maybe his wife is pregnant again or something.
That's not what's going on.
Who knows?
I do know. And we all know what's going on. And we talked about this yesterday. I heard a lot more of it this morning and this afternoon on this radio station. Yankee fans are pissed off at Jeter. And I brought it up to John Flaherty yesterday, half jokingly, like, hey, what's up with Jeets? He's so afraid to play. That's what this is about. He doesn't want to play. He doesn't want to play because he doesn't want Yankee fans to see him in a state in which he's not Derek Jeter.
Oh, come on.
That's what's going on.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
There's no way. He's been retired for 8 years.
It's been a long time now,
Maybe definitely longer than that.
2014.
Probably. Yeah.
Wasn't it 2014? So it was 11 years.
11 years.
Yeah.
So he can't be worried about what he physically looks like.
That's the reason he's not going to Old
Timers. It's slow motion baseball.
I know that, but I'm not defending him.
There's
I'm explaining.
No way that's the reason.
That is the reason.
I refuse to believe that.
Oh, it's
until Derek Jeter comes out and says, "Yeah, you know, my body's broken down and I just don't feel like going out there." I will not believe that.
Now, here's a question. Can you quickly look this up, Tommy? Was Derek there last year when they didn't play the game? Like, I kind of thought he was. But correct me if I'm wrong about that. So what the Yankees did is they stopped playing the game about 5 years ago. I hated the idea because I think the appeal of Old Timers Day or the Alumni Classic, like Old Timers is now an offensive term, so we can't use it anymore or whatever. Like the Mets are calling it the Alumni Classic. It's Old Timers Day.
Right.
It's what it's been called for 70 years. It's Old Timers Day. It's
why
Old Timers
that,
game.
Why is that offensive?
Because you're an old timer. Do you want to be called an old timer?
I mean, I am an old timer.
Oh,
I'm 50. So, like, what are you talking about?
Listen, I don't think it's offensive.
It's not offensive.
I think that's the reason they've changed
it. It's respectful.
I agree with you. But they stopped playing the game 5 years ago. Was Jeter there last year, Tommy?
According to the internet, he was.
Okay. This is about the game. But here's my issue. Because we've spent 24 hours now on this radio station where Derek Jeter is taking slings and he's taking arrows. And now I have to play an old game that we now play all the time in politics. It's called whataboutism. You ever play whataboutism?
I have not played whataboutism. But well, it sounds interesting.
It's a great game. Republicans and Democrats play it all the time. When they get caught doing something badly, they say, what about blank?
Got it. What about the other guy?
Yeah, what about the other guy?
Right.
Can I play whataboutism?
Okay.
And I'm sorry, guys, I have to be fair.
Let's go.
There's another athlete in this town who refuses to go to Alzheimer's Day for the exact same reason.
Who?
You know who.
I don't know
who. Oh, I'll say it then.
Okay.
Number five, David Wright.
Okay, but David Wright has got a jacked up back.
Oh, so that's the excuse?
It's like, it's debilitating.
Okay.
I mean, is it not?
I'm not dismissing his back issue, but he did not go in 2022.
Okay, but does he go and he doesn't play?
He did. This is only the second Alzheimer's Day the Mets have had since they put it away for 2 decades.
Right.
In 2022, he did not go. There's famous audio from spring training in which he's asked about it, and he's laughing and says, well, I'm not really an old-timer, and he's smiling. And they're like, well, Daniel Murphy's going to be there. And he's like, well, he's an old-timer. He had a great sense of humor but said, no, I'm not going. And he didn't go. He was the one real missing link in 2022. Well, the Mets just announced.
Well, how old was he in 2022?
It was 4 years after he retired. So
he's not an old-timer.
He's out of baseball.
Okay, but if you're not eligible for the Hall of Fame, you're not an all-timer.
He's eligible for the Hall of Fame now.
Of course he is.
Is he on the roster for the 2025 Alumni Classic?
I don't know. Is he?
No. And so what I want to know from everybody listening to this radio station who called up yesterday, who called up today, calling Derek Jeter, these are real terms used about Derek Jeter. He's a douche. I heard that on the morning show.
He's not.
That was a caller. It wasn't Boomer or G right. saying that.
He's not.
But that's what people are
I'm
saying.
Just telling
he's
you, he's
selfish.
Not. He's not.
Teek, I'm defending him. What I want to know is, why is nobody saying that about David Wright? Like, David Wright has made clear he doesn't want to go to Alzheimer's Day.
Because he's not an old-timer?
He's retired!
Okay, but he's not an old-timer. Oh, retired doesn't mean non-old. I saw yesterday that JPP.
Yeah.
You're a JPP.
He's still playing.
He wants to come out of retirement.
Yeah.
And he wants to go back to the Giants so he can get 100 sacks with the Giants.
Oh, God.
To me, he feels, man, that was years ago.
Yeah.
JPP was playing right after I retired. I've been retired for almost 20 years. So how the hell is JPP still wanting to play?
No.
Because he's not an old-timer, even though he's probably old.
So your defense is Derek Jeter is an old-timer and David Wright is not an old-timer?
Yeah.
I mean, David's younger, but he's retired. And
how much younger?
It doesn't matter.
It does matter.
But look at the other guys going to Mets Old-Timers Day and Yankees Old-Timers Day.
Is anybody within 10 years of being retired?
Yes, Noah Syndergaard's going, and then he had to cancel because he signed a minor league contract.
Or because he's not an old-timer.
No, but he was going to go to the game.
He's not an old-timer.
Stop it.
He's playing. How are you an old-timer if you are still playing Major League Baseball?
But he was going to go is my
I
point.
Understand that, but he was going to go because he was probably bored, and why not?
Daniel Murphy was in the minor leagues like a year and a half ago. I'm not killing David Wright. I'm merely asking why on this radio station is everyone so easy to bash Jeter and not say a damn word about David Wright? Mm. Quite frankly, it's okay for neither of them to play.
I think it's because the tradition, not only of just the Yankees, but of their old-timers day. I mean, the Mets just brought this in. This is, what, the second time they've done
yes,
it?
Yes, second time, yeah.
With the Yankees, it's been going on forever and ever and ever. And you're Derek Jeter, mm-hmm. and you're not showing up to this where you're supposed to be the captain, Mr. History. And David's like that too, but I just think the actual event means more for the Yankee fan and the Yankee brand and their organization than it does for the Mets right now.
Well, I think it did for a while because the Yankees do it every year, so it's a tradition. But in a weird way, the Met Old Timers Day also become special because it was gone for so long.
Yeah.
So when they brought it back in 2022, it was a huge, huge deal. Look, we just have to make Derek and David feel comfortable. Mm. You don't have to play, man. Just come back, tip your cap, say hello, and then sit down. But I think for both guys, it's the same exact story, and yet it's being talked about very differently around here. They both don't want to play.
They don't
want to embarrass themselves, and neither guy is showing up, yet one guy is taking heat like he's the most selfish guy in the world, and the other guy, oh, we love you, David. Go back to California and coach Little League and soccer.
I just think maybe Derek Jeter thinks playing baseball is just not fun anymore. Seriously.
He lost his smile.
It's not fun anymore. Like, if you asked me to play football, I'd be like, hell no.
But you would go.
Of course I would
go. If the Giants had an old-timers flag football game,
right,
you're going to go and take a standing ovation, even if you're not going to play. Yeah. And that's all Jeter and Wright have
to
do.
He went last year.
Yeah, but because there was no game. I'm telling you, this is
crazy. How do you know something else is not going on?
Because Jeter and Wright, at times in the past, have made it very clear they don't want to embarrass themselves on a baseball
field. I don't think
field.
It's embarrassing themselves. I think it's they don't want to play baseball anymore.
Because they don't want to be looked at as something less than what they were.
I don't think it's you don't want to be looked at as something less than you were. You just have zero desire to do what you used to do. I have no desire to play football.
You wouldn't play a flag football
no.
game, a Giants classic?
No, I wouldn't.
Giants should totally
I'm glad
do
I have girls that are into cheer right now. Because they're not like, hey, let's go play football, Dad. I'd be like, really? Do we have to?
No, I get you. I just, look, my observation is it's odd to me how Derek Jeter has taken so much shrapnel over 24 hours, and David Wright, who is doing the exact same thing in no-showing Old Timers Day or the Alumni Classic, whatever the heck you want to call it, is getting nothing. It's like, yeah, okay. Oh, wait. Is it because we saw him the other day for the number retirement? That's enough and we're good?
I can only speak for a handful of my friends that are Yankee fans. They have all turned on Jeter. They don't like him. They think he's
a jerk. So prior to this?
Correct. I think post-career, A-Rod has, now he's a little bit of a panderer, but I think they love A-Rod more now than they like Jeter. I think they think Jeter said, whatever, I did my career there with the Yankees, now I'm this and that, and they think he's like kind of a jerk. So they already went into this with preconceived notions, and then when he thumbs his nose at Old Timers Day, it just adds to their fuel to the fire that they don't like him anymore.
The other guy who's not going to Yankees Old Timers Day is A-Rod, but what I don't know, and maybe you could find out, Deke, was he invited? He better have been. I'll tell you that right now. He better have been.
Was he previously invited?
Was he at an Old Timers Day last? I don't remember. Because when they weren't playing the game, I lost interest. Like, to me, I'm a big fan of the actual game. Can you look that up, Rosie or Tommy? Was A-Rod at an Old Timers Day quite yet? Because if he was, then sure, they invited him. He just decided not to come. Which is,
well, because I feel like he was there last year because they honored the championship team that he was on.
Oh, you're right. He had to have been there last year.
He was there last year.
Okay. He was.
And because they honored the team, I think they felt like we got it.
Was he there any other year? Let's go a little deeper on this then.
From the internet, and again, Tiki can confirm this, but last year was his first.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you reach out to A-Rod or someone who knows A-Rod and find out if he was invited to Old Timers Day?
Yes.
Because that would be a problem.
Well, here's what you do. Now you invite him. Because if you want to get Jeter there, you invite Alex there. This is what you do with like your wives or something like that. You invite.
This sounds like politics.
Correct. Invite A-Rod there and make it about A-Rod, and then all of a sudden Jeter will skip his way to the Bronx.
Well, one of the big things about Old Timers Day, and this used to be a real thing, ask the old time Yankee fans, is who gets announced last. Because whoever gets announced last is the king. And Joe DiMaggio for a while demanded, I'm not kidding you, I'm going to give a history lesson. He demanded to be announced as the greatest living Yankee. I ain't kidding you.
Really?
Yes. And that was a thing between him and Mickey. I'm the greatest living Yankee. Mm-hmm. And so Joe needed to be announced last. Eventually, they die. Yeah, both dies. And
then who was announced last?
I think Yogi? Yeah, I think Yogi. Probably for a while. Right. I think you're right. I don't actually know the answer to this.
I mean, it better have been Yogi.
Nowadays, who gets the royal treatment? Like, I looked at their roster for Old Timers Day. To me, it's clearly Mariano. Mm-hmm. Like, he would get the treatment.
Right.
But if A-Rod's there... Does A-Rod get it? Probably not. I don't know. Mariano, Pettit, Jeter if he showed up.
Mattingly?
Nah.
You don't think so? Nah. Not over Mo.
He's not even a Hall of Famer.
I know that, but for a huge generation of players, I mean, David Wright's not a Hall of Famer, but he would be.
Mets history and Yankee history is very different. Don't make me bring that up.
It's judged differently.
Hold on a second, though. A lot of the great history of the Yankees, those players have passed away, and if Jeter's not going to show up, it starts to thin out a little bit there.
No, I know, but if you look
at Hall of Famers.
But if you look at Mets alumni classics, how many of those guys are even in the Hall of Fame? It's Mike Piazza. Like, Keith Hernandez isn't a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Gary Carter, unfortunately, is not here with us anymore. Like,
Doc is not.
Doc's not. Daryl's not. Like, there's nobody. So, Hall of Fame is different when it comes to the Mets than when it comes to the Yankees.
Justin Fields carted off the practice facility. We'll keep an eye on it. I don't know what it is yet. Nobody knows yet. It doesn't look good, obviously. I'm pretty sure he didn't just sprain his ankle. You don't get carted off the field for a sprained ankle. But day two, the Jets might have serious, serious issues. You got to be kidding me, man. We'll get to that. Obviously, you know, Hoff is following social media, the Schefters, everybody that you need to know. Once something happens and once something breaks, we will get it to you, and we will switch gears if and when we have to. Yankees.
So, right now, everybody is raging about the Yankees, screaming about the Yankees, tweeting away, pecking that keyboard. Like, the harder you hit the letters, the better it's going to be. You know, the more it's going to accentuate your point. Hit that iPad. Hit that phone. Pissed off last night, right? I'm actually happy what happened last night. As a matter of fact, that ground ball to Vivas, well, I mean, why he's on the team, I have no idea. I wouldn't even let him be the bat boy at this point. Once he got thrown out tagging up from second, I would have sent them. I don't know where I would have sent them, but I wouldn't send him out to play for the Yankees. But once he booted that ball at third base, I'm sitting there saying, oh, man, they're going to give him a hit on that. Give him an error. I wanted it to get worse. So the first error, the second error, the third error, the fourth error, and I wanted five. And I wanted six because last night, and this is a good thing, you don't feel it yet, I know. And I don't expect you to call up and say, yeah, well, I agree. Boy, I feel a whole lot better about myself. This is really a good thing. It will be a good thing. Because last night was rock bottom for these bumbling, stumbling Yankees. Rock bottom. You almost look like the Savannah Bananas, but the Savannah Bananas do flips and they catch the baseball and they throw the ball behind their backs. It's more like, you know, it's more like the Bad News Bears going across the country to the Houston Astrodome, all right? The Yankees just suck at so many important things. I know it. You know it. We know it. It ain't changing. Dominguez can't play the outfield. I want to see him out there. Cannot play the outfield. Put him on a DH him if you play him because you got five other DHs that you got to wedge in, which is another important piece of the puzzle with these Yankees. It is a horrendous. Here we go. Let's cue up the same old complaints, Tierney. It is a horrendously constructed roster. What team in baseball has three catchers and really two and a half? I mean, if you look, but three catchers, three first basemen, one shortstop who's a mess. Like, it is amazing. Nine outfielders and zero third basemen. That is a well-built team. But last night's going to be good. Because last night, if the Yankees are honest with themselves, and how could they not be, they might frustrate us. They might baffle us. Yankees are not dumb. They're not. Now, I don't know how honest they'll be. I don't know how candid and frank they'll be with one another as they discuss what they've got to do. And God almighty, is it a lot before the trade deadline, right? I mean, it's a lot. So, but if they are honest with each other, last night will be rock bottom. See, last night wasn't just, you know, maybe, you know, somebody that you know, you're dating her, you're married to her, you have that extra drink and they jump on the table and they got the lampshade on their head, or, you know, they're a little bit, a little chatty at a party and maybe say something stupid. Last night was such a disaster. Last night's the kind of night that you wake up laying in a lawn chair, which actually happened to me after my 50th birthday, in a lawn chair that got my wife was, you know, got me in. And you are in your backyard and you have no idea how the hell you got there or where you were that night. You're like, whoa. All right, that's unacceptable. Like, if I can't piece the night together, and this is more obviously when you're younger, even though I wouldn't even recommend it then, but if I can't piece together last night, then I got to stop whatever the hell was going on. And that is rock bottom. This is the baseball version of rock bottom. I've been telling you for a month, more than that, Toronto's good. I've now been telling you for a couple of weeks, Toronto ain't scared of the Yankees. And now you look at them on the same field, and stylistically, what the Toronto Blue Jays do well, the Yankees are awful at defending. Like, the stress Toronto puts on you, when the Yankees' defense gets sped up, it reverts to a level that is just gross and unsustainable and not good enough. So while, and again, I'm going to give you guys a chance to rant and rave. I'm getting to the phones right now. BT and Sal, of course, Sal is off. Thank God Sal's off. If I had to sit and listen to him mocking the Yankees today, I would really lose my mind. 888-808-1019. It's back Monday. We're together on Monday. So this is where we're at. All right. We've had so many different checkpoints this season. Last night, and I really do believe that I am pretty much lone wolf on this. The worse it got, the happier I got. Because there's no sidestepping. There's no circumventing. There's no, covering up. We're playing. You know, we're good. We're ready. We just need one middle relief arm. You need so much. I don't even know if you can get what you need, quite frankly. But last night's the impetus for everybody with the Yankees. Hal and Cashman starting there. Forget about the manager for a second. Hal, you got to suck down $40 million more if you want to do something, or 50. And Cashman, you got to make 3 or 4 trades that pop. You can't make 4 trades and hit on 2. If you make 3, you got to go 3 for 3. If you make 2 and they're 2 big ones, it's got to be 2 for 2. If you make 4, it's got to be 1, 2, 3, 4 for 4. They should have had 5 errors. 5 last night. Rock bottom. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal here on the Fan. God. All right, Hoff is scouring the stuff for the Justin Fields. This could be a really interesting day. We're inside of our Town Fair Tire studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Let's get to you. How about Jamie in, why is this like this every day? What the heck happens here when I come in? It's totally different. Help me out, guys. Jamie, please. Thank you. Jamie's on the Fan. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, BT. How you doing?
Good, man. Good.
All right. I was going to call yesterday. I got too busy. But the problem is Jason Dominguez hit a home run last night.
Yep.
Okay, great. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Hit a home run. We were up 1-0. Okay. Jason Dominguez can't field the baseball.
No, he's a mess.
No,
he's a mess.
And he's either got to be a DH, or I really don't think there's a spot for him on our team.
Might not be. Yeah.
If you look at his numbers with Trent Grisham, now you take that home run, we'll add that in. Mm-hmm. Grisham is the superior. He's got the superior numbers, and he's a gold glover.
Yes.
This guy, he could have a glove on each hand, and I don't think he could catch the ball.
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to even give Dominguez the benefit of the doubt for that ball that went by him. And, you know, there is a bit of a different spin on the turf, but there's no way. You can't justify. First of all, I thought he was like slow and nonchalant and lazy going to get that ball. That's just, and isn't that a big part of the problem here when you really think about it, Jamie?
100%.
Like almost like the indifference to playing buttoned up, aggressive, locked in baseball. You are a kid who's trying to prove that you deserve to play every day, and you just lollipop over there and the ball skids by you. Take a seat.
The ball got by him, and then how about the throw back into the infield?
I know. You're right. You're right, dude.
I'm not going to just single him out. Volpe, you're right. He's a mess right now. But, you know, the other alternative we have is Peraza at short, and that's not going to get anything done.
Peraza.
Yeah, right. And, you know, we're a mess right now. I'm a Yankee fan through and through, but we're a mess right now. And you're right. Cashman better put the pot of coffee on and work overtime right now until the 31st.
There you go. That's where we're at here, Jamie. Appreciate the call there, buddy. 888-808-1019. There's no doubt about it. I mean, and here's the thing, you like it, and I do, I you can, and he bots, you're probably, they're off today. He'll probably play tomorrow. Like, I'm not running Dominguez out in the outfield. I'm just not. I mean, he's going to sit in DH for a little bit and watch. I mean, it's just a mess out there. But, like, even when you look to accentuate some of the positives here, like Grisham obviously is having a really good year. Not a perfect player, but he's making $5 million, and he's going to finish with 20-something bombs, and he's looks like Ken Griffey Jr. out there half the time. I don't even know if he's on the team next year. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of issues, and yeah, you have to start at basic checkpoints. One would be Dominguez, you sit. Now, I love the way Ben Rice swings the bat. But at first base, I mean, whether it's trying to pick it the other night with Volpe's throwing the dirt, you got to make that. Now, I know it was a little bit of a short hop, which is different from the long hop. It's a little tougher. Make the play. Like, if you grow up and you're a catcher and there's a ball in the dirt, now you're playing first base, just scoop it up. And then last night, I don't know what he was doing. Couldn't get around the base runner. What was that on the play? Even when they make a great play. Well, not a great play. I mean, obviously, it was a good play. Jazz jumping up to snag that line drive. The throw to first base, and there was no need to even throw it. Like, Rice couldn't even, like, navigate the space. The runner's here. Oh, what do I do? What do you do? The ball's going to hit the hell is that thing where you put it? The tarp, basically, going to bang off the tarp. God. And I'll tell you something else, like, gosh, that a laugh with Boone's ejection. Have you ever seen a more aggressive umpire than that? Is his name Sanchez? I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think Sanchez won that one. Now, Boone got booted, but, like, Sanchez, and then he waved him off, like, such a punk move. I hate when umpires make themselves the show. I'm not saying that umpires should just sit there, you know, and be, like, unintentionally spat upon and have somebody's nose right on your nose, and, you know, you have to remain all docile. I get that. You're a human being. But, I mean, that guy was as aggressive as it gets. And then, like, the little, yeah, get out of here, dude. You booted. Just last night, all around, was so, so gross. Danny's in Lodi. BT and Sound on the Fan. Danny, what's going on?
What's up, BT? How you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Last night was rock bottom for the Yankees. I'm done with them. It's error after error after error after error. I'm done. That's it. They got to make changes. And I feel like they refuse to make them. I just feel like they're, like, you got to go get a third baseman. Zegras shouldn't even be on the team. Volpe, I don't know what you do with him. And then, not for nothing, but the throw that Jazz made to first when Guerrero was on first, that was terrible. He had no play there. It was horrible. Last night, it was rock bottom, like you said, and I'm done.
Well, you're not done. I mean, let's not get nuts here. You're not done. If you mean you're done believing that this team can do anything, all right, I'm with you. You're not done. Yeah, Yankees are off tonight. They play tomorrow. You'll watch them. Right?
No, I'm not. I shut them off last night.
Well, okay, but that's last night, is what I'm saying. And now you'll turn them back on Friday. Now, come on, we know how this carousel of emotion works. That's why, like, I know, you know, I was getting a little nutty with certain things, but again, I'm happy. Like, of all the emotions, it's also incredibly frustrating to watch clearly in real time, but... Like, as the night progressed and as the season series with Toronto has progressed, and you go back to the comedy of errors in the Red Sox series, you know, where's kind of really started base running gaffes. You know, last night was just a reinforcement, I think, what we've all known, which is why you've never once, not once, zero, heard me say on the show or write on social media, I believe that this team could win the World Series. I've never once said that. So last night was a painful reminder as to why. And now you got a couple of days to rectify it. And now here's what's happening. And this is the other problem, too. Because the desperation that the Yankees will not have to operate with just based on being the Yankees and the payroll and the expectation and the pressure, you don't think other teams are now going to try to fleece the Yankees? And there will be so many, well, they always try to fleece the Yankees, but there will be so many other teams involved in chasing the same players, some of whom will be on Stearns' radar from a middle relief perspective. Maybe even Suarez. I saw something yesterday. I think it was Passan. I don't even know if that's the right move for the Mets, but the Passan had them connected a little bit to Suarez at third base. We'll see. So the Yanks and the Mets are going from, you would think, for some of the same people, and so is Seattle, and so are several other teams. There's going to be a lot of activity, a lot of volatility on the trade market here. So if you have a comparable, think about this. If the Yankees give you, I'll just use easy like math and easy numbers. If the Yankees trade package for player X is, I don't know, 70 cents on the dollar, and Seattle's is... In the very same neighborhood, mid-60s, high-60s. Basically comparable, right? Well, what you do is you already know you have a deal with somebody. You go to the Yankees, right? Because they've got, you know, I don't know if they've got the appetite to do it, but they've got the resources to do it, to eat more money, and their prospects, at least their higher-level ones, and I'm not giving up Lombard, and I don't want to give up Jones or Schlittler either, but who the hell knows where this goes. But what you do is you go back to the Yankees, and you hold their feet to the fire. Oh, yeah, all right, you want to get out of this mess? Instead of 70 cents on the dollar, we now need $1.17 on the dollar. Now we're going to flip it, and we're going to take, we're going to take whatever we want. Oh, you can't do the deal cash, but all right, hey, Seattle, we got a deal for 68 cents on the dollar. Basically the same thing. This is the rough spot that they are in. Let me get Kenny and West Islip, BT and Sal on the fan. Kenny, what's cooking?
BT, thanks for taking my call.
Okay. You're welcome.
I watched that game last night. I was cringing.
Yes.
You know, there's a saying, defense wins games, offense sells tickets. Our defense yesterday was horrendous. First of all, we got people out of position. Why would you put Rice at first base during this is an important game? Wells is not catching. Dominguez can't catch in the left field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got Judge as a DH that game. Come on. What's he thinking?
Well, I don't mind. I don't mind. Yeah, I didn't love the lineup again. I mean, Vivas, again, just get lost. I don't even know. I don't even know if he's on the team, let alone playing in a pennant race here with these series, you know, trying to rubber match. Last night was important. Like, the symbolism of last night, not where it was like must win. Let's not get stupid. There's a lot of baseball to go. But, you know, you won the night before in great fashion, great theater. You know, Rice just mashes one. You take out Toronto's top closer, top relief pitcher. You know, I thought there was real, you know, grittiness. But I thought, even though the Seattle comeback was sick, I thought it was the most meaningful, best win of the year. Now, some of you disagree. That's fine. But it's certainly up there. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. And then you come out, hey, Max Fried's on the bump. You know, come on. You've got your ace, who's been... Let's face it, Max Fried was a whole lot better in April, May, and into early June than he's been lately. Not that he's been awful, but hasn't quite been Max Fried from early, where he was untouchable. So you were feeling good about yourself. And not only do you lose, but you lose that way? Rock bottom. And that's a good thing. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sound on the Fan. Hoff, you got something? What's happening?
Just really quick, the Jets practice is over, and Aaron Glenn is supposed to speak very, very soon, so we'll get you updated with that ASAP.
Okay, great job. Yeah, I told you, Hoff's all over it. Anything with Justin Fields, trust me, as soon as I have to switch gears, I got it. I'm on it. It doesn't sound good. It doesn't feel good. You don't get carted off for a little cramp, but there you go. So Aaron Glenn's going to address the media. I don't even want to speculate, but how do you not? You get carted. I just always think ruptured Achilles. I always think that. Hopefully it's not that. Hopefully we get something good. But it sounds and it feels ominous. Oh, my God.